You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 207. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler, and I'm pretty sure you just did it again.
No.
Well, you definitely said 207 last time.
That was wrong.
This is 207 now.
Yes.
Awesome.
I have just posted episode 206, so you should be able to download it at your leisure. So this will be 207. I'll post this in a few days, and we're back to caught up. This episode, we will be discussing a local event here in San Diego, so I'll be telling you all about that, and you'll be telling us about all the adventures you've had about Star Trek on the East Coast.
I can do that.
All right. What shall we begin with?
Well, this week was 1E, was it not?
Yes. And you know my style of building 1E decks, which is panic for 2 weeks and then throw something together the morning of. I usually have an idea of what I want to do. But this time I hadn't played TNG Romulans yet, so I did that. Did you just get thrown out of an airlock?
Well, you've played them. You played in the draft, right?
Yes.
But you haven't played them constructed?
Exactly. So I put together a Romulan, always a chess game, with the underground in the deck. And I was disappointed. We played, ended up playing four rounds, and I got caught a bye, so I only got to play it three times. I only saw the underground come out once. So I had a lot of people that didn't play for free that I really wanted to have out in a lot of games, but... And even then, it didn't come out till late, so I got to find a new trick to get the Romulan Underground out. It might be going back to tents, I'm really not sure. And I also went with all TNG dilemmas, which was kind of fun. I hadn't done any of the only dilemmas from one subset of, one series or whatever, so I tried it out. I looked online, and Ken was in the chat room when I was putting the deck together. So I worked with him a little bit, borrowed something from him. I borrowed a lot of the Romulan side of the deck from something that Will Hoskins was playing in England a while back, and it all came together pretty well. I'm trying to think of what I would change, and I made a decision. I've never... one with the Romulan deck, well, at all, but there's that achievement that I've been staring at me that says win with Romulans and no other affiliation. So I didn't put any non-aligns in. I didn't put anything else in. I came close. I only lost once, but that meant that I couldn't steal that scientific diplomacy mission because I didn't have any non-aligns in the deck, and I was ready to steal it on multiple occasions.
No espionage, huh?
No. Well, that would have been interesting. I guess that would have done it. But I was already hurting for seat cards anyway. I just barely eked out three under each. So, like I said, the first round I caught a bye. The second round I played against Johnny, and he put out... the missions that he laid out had no overlap for the affiliations, except for non-aligned. And so he was playing... Let's see if I can remember. He had the Baku planet for Sona and Baku. He had the followers of the One planet for androids. And
sure.
He had the mercenary crew for TNG Merc guys. So there was a lot of free plays. He had trouble piling skills to get past some of my dilemmas. But we were pretty evenly matched. I think the game ended up with him with a modified win by 47 points, and oddly enough, and was it 47 points or I had 47 to his 70. So it was a pretty close game. He ran. I was playing the enhanced Shades of Grey style dilemmas, so you need extra exobiology to get past all the Shaka when the walls fell, and that was pretty rough. But he had a lot of free people, and at one point he had a ship full of guys, and they were all going to die because I moved my ship over, and he picked them up and spent the next few turns playing them out over and over again, and just kept bashing into the dilemmas until he cleared them out. But like I said, it was a close game. It was a modified win. My dilemmas held him off from a full victory.
So was he? How was he playing the Baku and the Sona? Was he just sacking the TNG, or because both of those other engines rely on having that continuing mission, continuing mission.
Well, you know, I'm going to doubt my own memory. Maybe he wasn't playing with that planet. I want to say that he had another planet with free reports, but I could be jumbling it up with someone else. He definitely had a duck blind that he played people to. He played Kamala there with her anthropology times two. I think that was
very nice.
Yeah. So he was getting free draws there. He was getting draws from his party. This was one of the games I didn't see a lot of my play engines or my draw engines. But I had a lot of ships out. I was doing things across the board. Oh, he stopped me on multiple turns with lack of orbital stability.
I tell you, ever since the draft, we've been seeing a handful of random cards resurge in popularity, and that has definitely been one of them. Those annoying premier interrupts and events.
And it was interesting because I had a few ships. I think I had three ships out that I was dancing around with. And at that location, I had a Warbird that was loaded up and was ready to move. And he said, okay, I'll drop a loss of orbital stability on it so I can't move. It doesn't stop your ship. So if you have another ship there, you can beam everyone over to the other ship and then fly that ship off. And so I did, and he played another one on the other ship. And I think on my last turn, I had three ships, and he played another one and was drawn for, he had been drawing for as many as he could get, but he stopped one of my ships, and I was still able to move around a little bit, but he stopped me from going to where I believe there were only two dilemmas, and I had to go to a spot where there was three, and it was a medical drain combo, and, I knew going into it that that's probably what it was, and I didn't have it. And if I could have rewound two turns and planned ahead a little better, I might have been able to get some equipment out that helped me get past it, but I just didn't have the resources, so I got stopped on my turn, and that was that. But like I said, I'll take a modified loss against Johnny. That was a pretty close game. He ended up going on to win the tournament, so I don't feel too bad about that, which pretty good with an online deck. It worked out pretty well. I don't know that in first edition there's a lot of really hard-hitting anti-non-aligned cards that you would play with. There might have been one from Life from Lifenesses, but maybe Shades of Grey, but doesn't see a lot of play, so that was pretty good. My next opponent, let me jump my cheat sheet here. I played JD, and JD was playing a 5 Delta Quadrant mission deck and 1 the Wormhole mission. Mission 2 in the Alpha Quadrant, and they were all they were all really big Delta Quadrant missions that you only need one person for, and B'Elanna or Janeway or whatever, but actually he got stopped by one of them because he needed more physics than he had, but he didn't even need to go to the Alpha Quadrant. He would just get 140 points from three missions. He had a lot of mission specialists. He was scoring 50 points a mission and just doing them one at a time. And I gifted him. I was playing, like I said, I was playing the enhanced TNG dilemmas. I was dropping Hotel Royale dilemmas for 7 points here, 7 points there. He won both of those with his big giant personnel.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't have a data in hand. I dropped a card thinking, all right, he's like 996 or something, And yeah, okay, I'll pick up Chakotay. He's 888.
Delta Quadrant.
Yeah. So I lost that one. He was able to show up seven cunning personnel from hand for another 7 points. And he beat one of the other Shades of Grey combo I was using was Null Space and Gravimetric Mine, where you have to have...
Sure.
You have to have four...
That's a good one.
Navigation, and if you do, they're all stopped, and then you have to hit the one where you need two science and two navigation, or you're damaged. That was pretty good.
Yep.
I think that's what had damaged Johnny's ship in the first game, and I moved my Dideridex over, and he had to pick it up. So that was good. That was a good combo. I like that. Thanks, Ken. And he scored 5 points because he had, you know, 16 navigation, and they all got stopped, and he scored his 5 points. I think he had also hit it the higher the fewer, so he had lost three or something. However it ended up, I gave him 14,
three.
Like 19 points. And he's chugging along, and I'm doing my missions, and I take out my general quarters in the first turn, and I take out my Ewer of the Monument later on, so he's got to get to 140. And I'm punching through his dilemmas. I got to 100 on my last turn, because the previous turn, he got stopped at 139.
Whoa!
he had 139 points, and I was at like 80. So I needed to do a mission. He didn't need to do a mission, and whoever got it first won. And I got through mine before he got through his.
Wow!
It was insanely close.
So how does that score out? Like 99 to 100, or
it's a
like
1 point differential. Yeah, plus one. So full win, plus one for
me. Wow.
139. That was amazing. That was an excellent game. I was sitting, you know, during my bye round, the first round, I hear Charlie complaining loudly. He's playing against JD from, you know, a couple of tables away. JD had paired his Delta Quadrant Voyager. You know, just lots of reports, lots of big beefy people, with a triple side deck.
Oh my god!
Not for, you know, not for a triple bomb, just to slow people down. And I got lucky.
Well, I guess if you're expecting to go to 140,
yeah, sure. He didn't get a lot of his ones out early against me. He was running a lot of tens, which he was breeding up to tens, 10,000s, and 100,000s. I couldn't report for free on my homeworld anymore. But since he didn't get out a lot of the ones, he wasn't slowing me down as much as apparently he did Charlie, because he spammed every one of Charlie's missions with ones, and it was like, okay, I'll stop this guy. So you're saying he's pretty much stopped for the rest of the game? Yeah, unless you forego your play, and the first thing you do on your turn is to beam that guy up, he's going to be stopped for the rest of the game. Well, that's stupid. Yeah, it's 1E. That's how it's played. And JD was kind of like, I'm sorry, I just, you know, everyone kept talking about triples. I want to try it out. And I'll never play it again, I promise. But he played it pretty well. He beat up on Charlie, won that game. He ended up, he held Thomas to a modified loss in the second round, and he lost to Johnny in the final round. So, that he ended up getting 4th out of 5, but that defeat against Charlie was... There were reverberations of Charlie's anger throughout the Arby's.
Yeah. Well, that is why it took so long for, you know, the community to discover how awesome Tribbles, the game, the sub-game that we love, was so awesome, was because there was so much hatred for them, like, in-game. That yes. Nobody ever wanted to be bothered to deal with them in another way, because they clearly could not be, you know, any good.
Yeah, and as we experienced, it takes time to draw. I mean, it's not that much to draw three tribbles and decide where to play them. I mean, there's only so many places you can draw. Well, okay, there aren't so many places you can drop them, because you can pretty much drop them anywhere, but only if you get the ones and tens. It's on when you've played them on me on my turn. Now I've got to figure out what I'm doing and try to work around them, and do I beam them off, or do I leave them on my ship? I thankfully had enough ships that I just left the triple infested ships behind and just kept going with the other ships. I didn't end up using my headquarters very much, I probably could take that out in another build of this deck, because I think the only people I was playing for free over there was Sayla and Tomalak and a general. And Tomalak and a general can play free in another place, so I would take that out and save a seat slot next time. But I think I lucked out against him. When he didn't get his ones early, I wasn't slowed down very much, and I was able to keep going. But another excellent game against JD. We've said it before. He's played with, been playing with us for about a year and a month now. Right? Just over a year? A year and a couple of months.
It was July, yeah. So a couple of months, yeah.
And it's always a rough game. It used to be, okay, playing against JD, let's see how this goes. I'll you know, get to practice my deck. And now it's, God, gotta fight and scratch for everything.
Yep, he is the prodigy. He's been picking up all the different, and it's, you know, and it's not like he's taken one deck and just, you know, played it over and over to learn the basics of that and then expand it. He, like, goes after, like, aggressively goes after those different strategies to explore all of the different facets of the game, and he picks them all up. It's crazy.
And it's not just 2E and 1E. It's all three, all tribbles and 2E and 1E. It's ready to go anytime. So.
Yep.
Excellent work, JD. 139 to 100 is the closest game I think I've ever played.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think that caps our 100 to 99.
Yeah,
That's crazy. 139.
My last round was against Thomas, and I knew that if I won and JD beat Johnny, I'd be looking pretty good because I had more. I had full wins to Johnny's modified win, but it was not to be. I did play pretty well against Thomas. Thomas was playing his traditional, I'll see continuing mission, attention all hands, and this outpost, and then you get five dilemmas at all these. And it was brutal. It was. I went down to one of my missions. I beamed down, and it was, you know, you have to have two officers to proceed. Like, okay, here
right.
We go. And then an officer has to go in the box. I think that was that one. And then there's a Horda who's killing everyone who stopped on the surface. And at that point, I abandoned my mission plans because he was playing Feds and I was playing Romulans. And I said, you know what? I've got more ships than you do. I can get another Dederidex out and staffed every turn. And I started sending my fleet of three Dederidexes and the Devoras to the opposite end of the space line where he was waiting. I blew up the Enterprise. I blew up the Phoenix. He was running around landing on shuttles. And I finally amassed enough people to shoot at his outpost. And he said, you have something to overrule affiliation restrictions? I said, what? And he slid his outpost out, and Iger was underneath it. The science...
Oh, God.
The scientific diplomacy guy, I was really paying attention. He must have played it really early on before I changed tactics because...
Wow.
So I had my entire fleet on the opposite end of the space line ready to shoot at this outpost, which was apparently immune to, because, you know, he rolled down his window and says, I am at the science conference, don't shoot. And that's okay.
Wait, you weren't packing your whatever... HQ
no,
secret.
I was really playing a speed solver is what I was trying to do. I just happened to have a lot of ships because I wanted to be able to spread out. But I learned a trick from Thomas a while back, and that is to play with where no one has gone before. So I took my entire fleet that was way over there, and the next turn I was back at my missions again.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and I was always a threat to jump back over there because I never knew where he was going. He eventually, I think I solved, now I ran into a dead end at my home world. I gave up on those planet missions because not only did he have the Horda and the officer traps, he had also played atmospheric ionizations over there. And so, you know, you can only beam down three people at a time. Speaking of 1E, or premier cards that are making a comeback. And this is the first deck that I've made. The Vidians had it, the Klingons had it, and this deck had a ship with no staffing icons, but I did not put in the thing that lets you land. So there was no way I was ever going to get past that. Because I was got all my officers. I had like six officers. I was ready to go. I was ready to beat that mission. And there was no... You beaming down three people at a time? Are you kidding me? That was nothing I could have done. That would have been the end. So I said, all right, I'm going to attempt my homeworld. And I got past the dilemma and ran into a dead end. And I nearly clawed my eyes out. And at this point, he had played another Enterprise, packed everybody on, and was going out to... He was playing with that cool new mission where you can only battle with one ship at a time. Which I thought would be great, because if he ran into that combo again and got damaged, I can send the Devoros over there. His shields will be down by 4. I got weapons of 9. I could, you know, I could finish him off.
Yeah.
Because he was playing, like I said, he was playing with... I don't even know if he was playing with a tent. Maybe a regular tent. He was playing with no doorways other than a potential tent. that was about it. So he couldn't pick it up like Johnny did. I'd be ready to go. It was the wrong combo. It was the... it was one of the... I need lots of exo and... The doctor that's afraid of turbo lifts, Pulaski has like exo times 2 or something. So,
yep.
I don't know. He had plenty of exo. Wasn't an issue. He got through it. He got stopped by the last dilemma, and I'm looking at my board. I've got just a ton of people out and ships everywhere, and I have no points. And then I realized, Thomas, he may have 4 or 5 dilemmas at every one of my missions, but he wasn't playing with a tribunal or cue the ref. So
nope.
If I could clear... I had a Civil War, so I couldn't redshirt, but if I could clear 2 missions on 1 turn, I could take it. So I gathered everyone together. I flew around the corner of this baseline, moved to scientific diplomacy. I figured out exactly how many navigation I had to have to get past my 2 dilemmas. They were all universal. And they said, I'm not sure, but I don't think you played it in non-aligned. There's no Romulan icon on scientific diplomacy and close metaphysics conference. So I
nope.
spent all my resources. I spent a good portion of my resources getting all of my people over to that mission, only to not be able to do anything with them. So I moved my ship back. I had 1 ship left with 3 range, and I had 2 missions. So instead of going to do 1... and then hoping to solve it, and then moving everyone over to the other one, I had to split my ship into 2 piles of 8 people, or 10 people, or whatever I had, and go over to one and hope I can pass it, and if I did pass it, go back to the first one and hope and get 50 points from mission specialists. I had 14 sitting in my core from random dilemmas. Oh, he hit me with the Scytherians, and so I did to him what he did to me, which is use the where no one has gone before to just limp over there, you know, 1 square and get 15 points and back. So I was
nice.
Okay there. I got through. I took out the people with mission skills, and I pretty much shuffled and put half of them over there and half of them over there. Sent the Warbird out and hoped for the best. I got through it. I was at like 95 points or 55 points. I went back to the home world. I solved it. There was I think the last one was that medical crisis, and I had just a ton of bio and a ton of medical. And I discarded underground, Romulan underground, and 4 honor guys for an extra 10 points, and it put me at exactly, you know, 104 or whatever. And I won.
Wow.
I made
somebody actually discarded Romulan underground.
It was worth it just for that. 10 points is what I needed. I think I got 30 points plus 5 mission specialist points plus 10 points for that. And it got me to 100 and whatever, and that was the longest turn. I think it must have been a 15-minute turn, because I had done everything I needed to go over and steal that 40-point mission and then to be denied. And I said, yeah, Thomas, I don't deserve to win, whatever happens from now on. Because I was so incredibly stupid. And I moved all my resources back and managed to pull up those 2 victories, but only because he wasn't playing with the cue the ref. So that was the trade-off he made, to play with an extra dilemma instead of ref cards. So I took advantage
right.
of it. But, man, I not having the ability to land versus that wall of just killing everything pile, that was pretty brutal. I will put ways to land back in every deck, even if it's just a hidden fighter and an apnex and established landing protocols.
Hey, established landing protocols is a captain's order, man. You can get that with your ready room door.
I can get that. Well, I'm not the type to play with ready room doors. I have 1 captain's order. I have Tomalak, who can get me lower decks. But I think I would rather have the established landing protocols, I'll put that in my tent and put the lower decks in the deck. And so if I draw into it, I play it. If not, I'll just download the one I need. It was a hard-fought day, but I went 2-1 with a bye, so that was enough to get me second place. And congrats to Johnny for winning. It was a good day. It was a lot of fun. We had five people, so we missed you.
I missed the 1E.
After that was over, we sent out the call for tribbles, and Matt, Kirk, and Jesse showed up. So we had seven for a big table of tribbles. And showing that it was not a mistake, Johnny won another tournament. He went out once.
Wow.
He went out once for 300,000 after he had scored about 300,000 in poisons and utilizes, so he had about 700,000 at the end of it. JD came in second with 510. And I toxined for 1,000 points, and that was the only points I had on the day. It was one of those where whoever wins that big round probably would win, and unless Johnny scored more points, and it was Johnny in that round, you know, the Death March round. Actually, I want to say we were close to finishing when we ran out of time. We went to an hour. We haven't done that in quite a while. But there were some well-timed Masakas when a lot of people were ready to go out, and it made the tribbles last quite a while. So that is what happened as far as Star Trek in San Diego. What have you been up to?
Nice. Well, I have defeated two online opponents in 1 week, thanks to both of them having conflicts and yielding. I signed up for that revised tournament, and I was supposed to play the tournament director, and then he was having internet problems and then personal scheduling issues, and then somebody else dropped, so he went ahead and dropped to make it even, and I got reassigned to somebody else, and then he also had scheduling issues. So I, to be honest, have not yet finished putting my deck together because I haven't yet had a deadline of you're going to be playing on this day, so you need to, you know, be ready to go. So, I mean, I have it in the deck builder. I just got to finish lacquering it together. Lacquering.
So you are prepared to do battle online, but as yet your opponents have yet to show.
Exactly. And as a result of discussing this on our last show, I actually got in touch with Calm Decker, who I guess is the local 1E czar, in as much as there is 1E in Massachusetts, which is apparently him and a bunch of his work buddies. But I guess they have short tournaments in midweek, and so I have been researching all virtual decks that I can take to work on one of these days and just print out something and play that way. So I brought enough. I think between my tribbles decks, I can probably put some virtual cards in front of them and have a deck to play. So we're going to work out some scheduling for one of these days where I can get away for something, but I might be able to do a live tournament after all.
That would be awesome. It's always good to go out and play with a random play group that you've never you know, encountered before. See what weird premier cards they've brought back, you know?
Yeah.
Are they playing just
exactly
virtual?
And I don't know if they're playing just virtual. It sounds like Matt's the only one who has cards, but they kind of do the loose, you know, new play group thing where, you know, everything's printable. So I probably could print non-printable, officially printable stuff, but you know, I thought it'd be fun to try to get that achievement and play with an all virtual deck in a regular tournament. But I also brought not just my tribbles, which I guess they kind of dabble in, but they don't actually play regularly. So I was poking Matt about, you know, we got to have a tribbles tournament afterwards. But I brought that, you know, on the off chance that something like this would happen, I brought my tribbles prize packet that I did not use at Dragon Con. So
nice.
We can have an officially sanctioned and prized tribbles tournament.
That'd be awesome.
When we
Very
get
good.
Together. So yeah, that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to that. Get together with it going. I guess new Philippines. The groups are very diverse, very segregated. There is a 2E group and there is a 1E group, and rarely do they intermix. But yeah, maybe very little, I guess. But cool. That was exciting. I did get to have one little other Star Trek experience while I was here, and that was the raffle.
The raffle was good. I had a good
last
time.
Weekend, which was a lot of fun, and that was I enjoyed that. It was funny because I remember when you announced it being at 7 a.m. Pacific time, I was not excited.
Yes.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to be on the East Coast now. It won't be until 10. Not taking into account that because of our arrangements for me trying to keep up with our Friday night gaming storyline, I would be up till 3 a.m. the night before on Skype for the game. So
it was as if you were awake the same amount of time.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. It was interesting to see. I was impressed to see. Unfortunately, all of my tickets were in the two bins that had like 150 tickets in them each. And so other people got those. But, you know, I picked up the live raffle of the thing that I was telling you what you were trying to figure out. It was the Geordi.
Yes.
This appears to be a bin for an entire set of this series D, was D or C or something, and I was typing in, no, it's just Geordi. It's on the list. And then you announced me, and I was like, no, it's the whole series.
Awesome. Yeah, I had a good time. It was really early in the morning, but a lot of folks were able to make it. I think that's the most we've ever had, so that tells me that it was probably the right time to do it. I think we decided that we're going to do the next one later in the day, back to probably the normal 1 o'clock-ish time, and then we might try to do a late-night one, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
I like that late-night idea. That'd be cool.
The only problem is...
Raffle left.
I'd imagine most folks would be actually doing something late night on a Saturday. Who knows?
Yeah. Raffle after dark.
No.
We could get Elvira to host.
No. No.
Or Bator.
Mistress of the Raffle Bator.
Okay. It's too bad it's not overlapping with the con. We could probably find a...
Oh, yeah, you probably could.
A female Klingon cosplayer and guest host.
That is awful. Speaking of guests, we need to have a guest again. We haven't had a guest in a long time.
Yeah, that's true. We should go and find somebody. Who would you like to have a guest?
Okay, I'm going to say a name, and you're not going to like it, but...
No.
Someone is doing a con in early February in Texas, and if it's still going on, I think I'd like to talk about it and maybe go.
You haven't said a name yet.
Well, I don't have to.
In Texas?
Yeah. Well, he just moved there from New Jersey.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind if you want to go and talk about it. I'd be happy to talk about it.
Yeah.
With anybody else.
All right. So if you have any suggestions for someone we should talk to, maybe someone from your playgroup would be good to talk to, let us know, because I would like to have someone else on here and, ask the questions and not have to do the heavy lifting myself, because that's what I do. Send an email over to section31@danhammond.com. Send any tournament results you'd like us to talk about, any cool things that you did. You know what we've got coming up is first edition Make It So.
Yeah, I've been interested to see how that's going to work out. I know the applications were due at the end of September, so I was curious to see how that is going to pan out, when that's going to get started.
Yeah, I think we'll be hearing things soon. So, good stuff. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Hey, you know who we should have on,
yeah?
Actually? It would be an interesting perspective. since we have we know lots of veteran players and we kind of have their experience, I would like to actually sit down and, aside from in the middle of a game or in between games, talk to JD.
Sure.
And see and just like from his perspective, what the experience has been like to come into a game that's 18 years old and have played for a year trying to pick up all of that history.
Yeah, he showed up that summer day with three starter decks, one Fed, one Klingon, one Romulan, made from White Border Premier. And then, if I remember correctly, he played against your mirror deck.
Yep, into the deep end.
Yeah, that was...
off the deep end, Mr. Scott.
Yes. I'm waiting for him to show up with that deck and to outplay everyone with it. All right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well,
Charlie
and Johnny, like, outfitted him before the tournament with some TNG, you know, to soup that up. And he was already, you know, peeling through my dilemma. So, yeah.
I like that idea. Yeah, I like that idea a lot. So let us know, someone from your play group, give us a contact, and we'd love to talk to them. That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
We've got...
In the meantime, I think...
Yeah, I don't think we have much this weekend. We've got a 2E tournament coming up in 2 weeks, and I got a stack of release kits to put in the mail, so enjoy.
Sounds good. I will hopefully one of my online games, so I can talk about that. But we'll look for another tournament and some intelligence on that, because we are out of it for tonight. We'll, of course, give a shout-out to Warp 11, because they have a theme song, and they let us use it, and it's awesome. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw to end before this call gets dropped, because we're pretty close as it is. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always